put too many things on one of these. Thank you. We're starting a new series this morning. We've finished the series on Genesis. I hope you enjoyed that. And we're starting a new series that I've entitled, What on Earth Are We Here For? And this is going to be our little graphic. What on Earth Are We Here For? Because I don't know about you, but I sometimes wonder, when you become a Christian, why don't you just go straight to heaven? And I know some of you are thinking, I know some Christians, or I wish went straight to heaven when they became Christian. Or you might be thinking, well, I wish I'd, when I become a Christian, you just kind of, I don't know, just kind of disappear and like head off in some kind of rapture up to heaven, and that would be it, and then you could just spend eternity. And I've been thinking, well, clearly that doesn't happen. That clearly there's a reason that we're on earth after we become a Christian. After we decide we're going to follow Jesus, there's got to be a reason that we still exist on earth. So we're going to do a three-part series. It's only going to be three talks, because that's all we need to cover the meaning of existence, apparently. We're going to look at what is the point, what is the purpose? We're going to do three talks on what is it that we're actually here to do? Since that we're here, what are we going to do about it? So I've been thinking about this last week, as I say, contemplating on the meaning of life and things like that. And then in the afternoon, I did something else. So this is what I've got so far. Feel free to add it, like, come and chat to me afterwards. But this is basically going to form the framework of the three. There are other reasons why we're left on Earth, but these are the three I'm just going to focus on over the next few weeks. Kind of up, out, and in are my three that I've thought of. So up, we're here to continue to worship God. In the beginning, we're created for relationship with God. That's what we read about in Genesis. If we look at Revelation, we find thousands upon thousands worshipping God, throwing down their crown, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. For eternity, goes on forever. So there's something in us that's designed to worship God. There's something in us that's designed to praise him. So that's up, that's worship. In, which is discipleship, we're left on earth to become more like Jesus. We're here on earth to develop our character, develop our actions so that we look more and more and more like Jesus. Up, worship. In, discipleship, as we learn, as we take in the word, as we take in what God's saying to us, as we take in good teaching, as we take in other people's comments, we become more like Jesus. And out, which is mission. That's why I really loved last week with Ruth's baptism, because her testimony was one of, well, I joined a church and they really welcomed me, and there was worship as people sought to give back to God. And then she said how she developed her faith, she became more like Jesus, she joined a small group, she went through discipleship, and then last week at baptism, then she invited all her mates to come along too and invited them to the baptism service. And it's kind of all of those, isn't it? It's up, in, out. Or if you like alliteration, which I quite like, then you can have worship Christ, walk with Christ, work for Christ. So whichever one of those three that helps you remember, up, in, or out, worship Christ, walk with Christ, work for Christ, whichever one works for you. That's what we're going to be looking at over the next three sermons, apart from remembrance, obviously. We're going to start with the first one there, which is we're called to worship. We're called to worship God. And as I've said, this is something that we're designed from the beginning of our creation. We're designed to worship God. And it carries all the way through into heaven. As we keep on worshiping God forever and ever, we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Which is why I really love Romans 12, which is the passage that Frank read to us. Because it's all, what is worship? What is it when we say worship? The Oxford English Dictionary defines the worst way to start a sermon as using the Oxford English Dictionary. So I won't. I hate it when people do that. Oh, the Oxford English defines fellowship. I don't care what the dictionary says. What does God say about it? Anyway, but what is worship? So this morning, we're going to be looking at what worship is. This goddaughter's birthday the other day, someone bought her a talking Woody doll. Bless her. Fantastic. What is worship? So I've been thinking about what worship is. is that going to happen a lot? No, it's all right. Oh, bless her. Gets a whole new toy and then you can't use it. What is worship? I was Have you ever seen a football match or a gig or a political rally? You'll see worship in action. We don't have exclusive rights on worship as Christians. Everyone worships. I don't know if you, as I said before, make the mistake of looking at the news. But on it, you'll see that the Americans are having an election, apparently, and for some reason we all have to look at that every single day for the last 3 months. All right, it's nearly over. And you'll see it's hero worship that happens at these rallies, regardless of which side. That is hero. I mean, these people are going crazy, and it is worship. They're giving worth to a political leader, whoever it is, treating them like demigods. From whichever side, these rallies that put these people in ascendancy. You might not worship a political leader, but you might worship a football team. You might worship a religious leader. You might worship a preacher. You might worship your favourite band. You might worship yourself. You can, yeah, if you spend all your time taking photos of yourself, worrying about yourself, thinking about yourself, spending all your time, energy, and money on yourself, that's a symbol that you're worshipping yourself. You can worship others, you can worship your spouse, you can worship your family. Worship means to give worth. It is absolutely right that you give worth to your family, you give worth to your spouse, that you give worth to your hobbies. But if we look at the time, energy, and money that we devote on these things, we realize that there are times when we can put those things above God. You are created to worship. Everyone in this world is worshiping something. There's something in your body that is designed to worship, to give worth. And the question we are left with is, well, what are you going to worship? What are you going to give your time, energy, and money on? At this point, I feel I should say, worship God more. Worship God more. Give more of your time, energy, and money to God. But I don't really like being told what to do, so I'm not going to do it to you, because I wouldn't respond well to it. So I'm not going to say, give more money to God, give more time to God, give more energy to God. But I am going to say, whatever you choose to give to God, he's worth it. Whatever you choose, you can't outgive God. If you do choose to give more of your time to God this week, I can assure you he's worth that time. If you decide to give more of your energy this month to worshipping Jesus, I can assure you he is worth it. If you decide to give a greater percentage or amount of your money each year to God, I can assure you he is worth it. I'm not saying you've got to in order to be a Christian. That's not true. We live by grace, not by works. But God is worthy of our worship. It says in Psalm 145, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." We don't need to hype God up. We don't need to exaggerate how good he is. He created the universe. That's probably enough. That's enough for us to think this is a God worth worshipping. That is enough to think this is a God I'm willing to give my time, energy, and money in praise of. And if that wasn't enough to create the universe, just remember the communion we had. Just remember the fact that the God who created the universe thought you were worth coming to earth and dying for. Just remember the fact that the God who created you was so desperate for a relationship with you, he was willing to hang on a cross bleeding in order to take your sin to restore that relationship with you. That is a God worth worshipping. We do not have to overhype God. We do not have to exaggerate how good he is. We don't have to pretend to our friends that he's better than he is. God is good and he is worthy of our worship. And anything we can give to God, he's worth it. Because worship is to give worth. Worship is giving back to God what he's already given to us. So I went to Messy Church last month, and I went to the Luminous thing at the St. Andrews. There was their alternative to Halloween. Both of them brilliant. And I quite enjoyed, I don't know if you've noticed, like parents with very small children at a craft table. It's hilarious to watch, because what you see, and it's often the mothers, though by no means always, who see their kid doing this thing, and the kid's like painting something, and you can see the mum like, that's not right, no, they haven't done it. And then they try and be gracious. They're like, no, I'm going to let him do it. And then like 5 seconds later, you're like, hold on, just let me do that little bit. And they get a pen and they start on the other side. And then within 5 minutes, all you've got is this mum frantically trying to create this beautiful lighthouse. The kid's gone. He doesn't care. He's off doing something. And the mum's like, no, I must get the lines in the right place. I must finish this. And then at the end of it, you find that the mum's like, oh, I want to take it home now. You go to these parents' houses, you've got little kids. You know what? Your kids are very good artists, aren't they? I mean, there's a lot of very good art here. You can see the parents like, yep, yeah, they really are good. What you don't see when kids give parents gifts that they've made, you don't see the parent go, well, to be honest, it was mine already. You don't see the parent go, well, who paid for that plate? And who bought you the paints? And who bought you the ink? Because obviously it was the parents all along. I mean, it's their stuff. The kid just turned it into something and gave it back to the parents. I like that analogy when it comes to worship. Because I take what God gives me. Because God gives me the breath in my lungs, and I choose to try and sing back to God. And I do mean try. Do try and sing back to God. God gives me my body, and I try and use that in worship of him. God gives me my intelligence, and I try and come up with ideas that further his kingdom. You see what I mean? It's all God's in the first place. I just choose to turn it into something and give it back to God. And the fantastic thing is, when I give it back to God, he doesn't look and say, well, to be honest, it was mine already. Well, to be honest, who gave you the energy, the breath, the mindset, the money to do it in the first place? God gratefully receives our worship. Like a parent gratefully receives a gift made by a kid, even though it was the parent's stuff all along. We're just giving God back what he's already given to us. And the beautiful truth is that he's really pleased with it. It says in Psalm that he delights over you. God delights over you. As you choose to give worth to him, as you choose to give him worship, as you choose to give back to God what is his already, he delights over that. It makes him happy. You can make God happy in the way that you live your life. Delights over us as we choose to worship him. Worship is orientating yourself to God. Worship is orientating yourself to God. Last week we were at the baptism service. I just talked about what repentance means, because it says repent and be baptized. Repentance just means turning yourself to God. And I just wanted to emphasize this again this week. I know I said it last week, that God is far more concerned about which direction you're facing than he is about how far away you think you are from him. Worship is just orientating yourself to God. You find when you are focused on God, that everything you can do as an act of worship. As it's said in Romans 12, give yourself as a living sacrifice. That is your act of holy worship. A living sacrifice. Everything you can do for God. The only question is, which way are you facing? The only question is, where is your mind focused? If your mind is on God, everything becomes an act of worship. I know I use it, and we use it as Christians, like the phrase worship leader, which is an all right phrase, but we're all worship leaders, aren't we? We're all worshippers. It's not like we've got some worshippers who come up the front and then we watch. We're all worshippers. Everything we do can be an act of worship. It's a case of orientating yourself to God. If you orientate yourself to yourself, then you end up worshipping yourself. If you orientate yourself to a political party to the extent that everything becomes an act of worship to that political party, then you worship that. If you orientate yourself to God, you end up worshipping God. Focus on the things that are above, and you'll find that everything else becomes an act of worship. I've got two more. This is the worship cycle. Oh, there's Romans. Which is something that a friend of mine came up with, which I think is quite helpful, because it's all very well me saying these things about worship, but it's appropriate to ask, well, then why do we do so much singing? Because none of what I've said so far has got anything to do with singing, and that's right, worship isn't about singing. But we do use song. every week in church, and it's good, and we use music, and God invented music, so it feels appropriate that we use it to worship him. Music's amazing. And this is just a helpful cycle, I think, of what we try and do when we sing. What do we try and do when we have a time of worship, like when we call it that, when we set aside time to worship God? Because everything starts with God at the top. Everything. I've got a little pointer here, so I thought I'd use that. I miss teaching sometimes. Everything starts with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It starts with him. He said, let there be light. So anything else after that is just our response to him. God says the first thing, and then we respond. But let's just remember that God started all this. So it's his fault. No, it's God started all this. So everything is a response to him. God comes first. And as we remember what God has done, whether it be creation, whether it be the cross, whether it be what he's done in our lives or the lives of people around us, it starts with God, and then we respond to that with song. We respond to that with praise. We decide this God is worthy of worship, so we're going to bring something to him, which might be a song, or it might be playing the piano, or it might be we're going to clap, or it might be that we make the tea, or it might be that we greet people, or it might be that we find someone we don't know and make sure they're welcome. Or it might be that you do a bit of cleaning. It might be that you pick up some litter. We respond to God with praise. We use what God has already given us. And then the marvelous truth is that God speaks back. We do not worship a God who set the universe up and let it go. We do not worship a God who's distant. We worship a God who keeps on speaking to us. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks to you through visions. He speaks to you through others. He speaks to you through sermons. He speaks to you through songs. He speaks to you through nature. God is speaking to you. And it's called the Rhema word. The word of God bringing now. What's God saying to us now? So we worship God. And then there's a Rhema word. This morning I really got the sense as we were taking communion that what I said about just feed on God, just receive what he's saying. God has got stuff to say to you, so receive it. It's a Rhema word. It's a word for now. And as we hear what God's saying, we respond with prayer. If we feel that God's calling us to pray for the village, then we respond by praying for Earl's Cone. If we feel that God's putting on our heart for the persecuted church, we respond by praying for people in Nepal. If we feel that God's got it on our heart to pray for some of the families who don't know about Jesus, we put it on our heart to pray for Messy Church. Do you see what I mean? There's a cycle. And then we stop and we wait. And we remember what God's done. And that's the worship cycle. And it goes around like that. And we go around as many times as you want. And I thought that might be helpful to you to understand what we're trying to do when we try and worship. When we put aside time in a Sunday to sing and to praise. And that's the worship cycle. And my final point about worship. Sorry, that's just Romans again. Is that we all get to join in. That's a good picture, isn't it? We all get to play. The person on the door is as much a worship leader as the person at the front with a microphone. It doesn't matter. Worship is giving worth to God. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, worship God. There's a famous guy called Brother Lawrence who wrote a book, and he this phrase, practicing the presence. And he was a monk, and I'm sure many of you know the story, that he spent so much of his life washing up, he eventually realized that he could worship God through washing up, and it changed his life. And that's true. If you do the washing up here, thanks so much. It's an act of worship. Why? If you do it for God, it's an act of worship. If you orientate yourself to God, it's an act of worship. If you're doing it to give worth to him rather than yourself, if you're doing it to give worth to him rather than someone else, if you're doing it to give worth to Jesus, then it's an act of worship. Which is great, isn't it? Because that means we all get to play. You all get to do something. You've all got a skill that you can bring. Every single person, you are made uniquely to worship God. You're made uniquely to bring worth to him. The only question is, what are you going to do? It doesn't matter if you're not a great singer. I certainly aren't. It doesn't matter if you can't play an instrument. It doesn't mean you're not a worship leader. It doesn't matter if you're not very good at preaching. It doesn't mean you're not a worship leader. Find what you're good at and do that for the glory of God. I've got a friend who's a drummer, and he gave a fantastic talk about this, because he readily admitted he's not a good singer, so we used to think he couldn't lead worship. He's a good communicator now, but when he was looking back, he didn't used to be, so he didn't think he could preach. He said, to be honest, all I could really do was play the drums. He just had a little thing, and I could hit drums with a stick. I mean, that was literally, he said, all I used to do. And he said this verse from Colossians, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, if all you can do is say, hello, nice to see you this morning, then do that. That's worship. It's an act of worship to God. If you can make tea, then make tea for the glory of God. If you can play drums, do it for the glory of God. If you can preach, do it for the glory of God. As we heard in Romans 12, if you are good at showing mercy, do it for the glory of God. If you're good at being generous, do it for the glory. Whatever you do, hospitality, invite people round. Being friendly, smile at people on the street. Do it for the glory. Live your life in order to give worth to him, to further his kingdom. That's what we're here for. It's what we're on earth to do, is to worship God. It's to give worth to him. It's to give back to him what he's already given to us. It's to orientate ourselves so that we're facing the God who is always looking to us. As we go around a cycle of declaring his praises and hearing what he's saying and praising him for that and going round again, whatever it is that you do, do it all for the worship of God. Because it's what on earth we're here for. Amen. We're going to, there's a song we did last week that I really like called When the Music Fades. So we're going to do it again because it's about worship. I'm going to ask Charity to sing it if that's all right, Jim. Thanks. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing this. God, thank you that you are worthy of our worship. Thank you, you're worthy of our worship. You created the whole universe and you still love us individually. And if all you ever did was create the universe, you'd be worthy of everything we could give you. But you didn't stop there. You died on a cross to bring us back to a relationship with you. All we can do is we say thank you. God, we pray that we would live our whole lives as acts of worship to you. And God, I pray this morning that no one would hear that they would feel that they don't have a job. That no one would feel that they don't have a part to play in your kingdom. Jesus, we declare this morning that we can all get to play. That we all have a job to do in your kingdom. We thank you that your church is made up of many parts. That a body is made up of many parts. And God, this morning we want to say yes to you. Thank you to you. And we choose to offer our whole lives as a living sacrifice to you again this morning. Our whole lives, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. If you want to stand, we're going to sing this. I'll play.